Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
I want to read a passage to you that is going to set us up for this next few 6 weeks or so that we're going to do about discovering the treasure within us. And I want to talk about, firstly, about you and then about your purpose, your collective purpose. So firstly, from 2 Corinthians, this is a letter written to the church in Corinth by a man named Paul, who was a man who had encountered Jesus and was totally transformed. And he writes in his discovery of who Jesus is. He says, "You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves." You might think, yeah, well, that's obvious. But a lot of people like to talk about themselves. We don't go preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, as I've been saying before, we gather together as apprentices of Jesus. We are learning what it means to be with him, to get to know him, to become like him, and then to do what he does. And so when you read that, we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Part of being like Jesus means you become a servant of other people. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts, this is within you, so that we could know, personally know, the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And the glory of God is the power, the beauty, the majesty, the purity, the kindness, the mercy, everything good about God is the glory of God. And the face of Jesus Christ, the word face means the person of Jesus Christ, because you know, you kind of know a person by their face. And so it's the person of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. It's deep within the very being of you. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I just want to look at this little verse again. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Two things. What is the clay jar and what is the great treasure? So you are likened to the clay jar. That's you. And Ian's got a picture of the clay jars we're going to put up there now. And have a look at those clay jars. And what do you notice about those clay jars? You're allowed to shout out. They're all different. That's good. Oh, you said the same thing. That's really cute. Okay. They're all different. Okay. Now, the thing about clay jars in the time when this was written, who's gone out recently and bought a clay jar? Right. So we need to talk about clay jars first, because we don't go out and buy clay jars, because in those days there would have been heaps of clay jars, and they're all handmade, which is why they're all different, and they're all made for a purpose. So if you did happen to have a clay jar, you may have picked it up in a market, in a shop you're in overseas, and you put it as an ornament somewhere. But these clay jars were individually made and they're all different. So when it says we're like clay jars, one of the things that makes us clay jars is that we're all individually made by a master potter, and we're all different, and we're all created for a purpose. All those clay jars were created not as ornaments, lest you think you're an ornament. You are created for a purpose. And the thing about the clay jars is that they're all different shapes and sizes, but doesn't mean like big ones are not necessarily more important than a tiny little jar. And if you think of some of the things that you have in your house that you use for cooking and eating and everything, you have a salt shaker could be one of your tiny little things, but it's incredibly important for your meal. So the different containers you have, you can't value them by their size. So when you think of this, we are created with a purpose, but you just want to think of creation for a moment, just the magnificence of God's creation, which people keep exploring, and there is so much more to explore. But let me tell you a couple of things about the creation that we live in. Did you know that there are over 300,000 species of beetles in the world? Do anyone know that? 300,000 species. And you know what also amazes me about that? someone counted them. Someone loves beetles enough to count that there's 300,000 species. Did you know that in one cubic foot of snow, there are 18 million individual snowflakes and not one of them alike? That's amazing. You just think it's snow. 18 million individual snowflakes. And there's variety in people. Just look around the room. We all look different. You never look and think two people look the same, except they're twins. And when you get to know them after a while, you think they look different. There are about 3 trillion trees on Earth, or 422 trees per person. And did you know Earth's core holds enough gold to cover the entire surface of the planet in 1.5 feet of the shimmering mineral? We're all very unique and we're all very different, but we live in this amazing world that God created, and God loves these amazing things about us. Did you know the number of water molecules in just 10 regular sized drops of water is equal to all the stars in the known universe? That's amazing. Now, that's just the environment that you have been, that's been created for you, and then you live in, and then it comes to you, beautiful you. So just think about you for a moment. The Bible says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." This incredibly beautiful image of God the Father, the Creator, making you and designing you just as you are. Unique you. Unique you. No one on the planet now or before has ever had your fingerprints. Most of us know that. But did you know that no one has the same iris as you? Even identical twins don't have the same iris. Did you know that your ears are unique? That the outer ridges, bumps and shape of your outer ear is so unique that soon it might be one of the best ways of identifying a person? Your ears. Have you ever looked at your ears and noticed that? Did you know that your gait, the way you walk, is unique? You ever seen someone walking towards you and you know it's them by the way they walk? You're the only person who has that walk in the entire world. That's why people notice what you look like. And did you know that your voice is another way that is only you? And that's why sometimes you can hear a famous voice and you can't see the person, but you know who it is. Happens a lot, doesn't it? And when you answer the phone to someone, if you can't see their name on the screen, sometimes you know who they are just when they say hi. You know the voice, individual voice. And what's more, the bumps and ridges on your tongue make it your tongue unique from any other tongue on the planet. And your teeth are also your unique teeth. Isn't that amazing? That's just unique physical aspect of you, but then there's unique inner you. All the things that you're good at, all the things that make you laugh and make you cry, all the things that make you quizzical and curious, all the things you love to create, they're all different. And you find some people who have similar traits, but you never find anyone who is just like you, because God created you uniquely. And you need to marvel at that, that you are created uniquely. And just like we look at that pot that is unique, sometimes the problem comes when you just focus on how amazing you are, because you don't realize that the empty pot itself has no real purpose unless it understands its greater purpose. You can look at yourself and say, "This is me and I'm amazing." Or on the other hand, you can look at you and say, "This is me and I'm not amazing, because I'm looking a bit like a worn out pot or a chip pot or not a very important pot." And God is saying, because sometimes we get our value from the outside and then we try to work out our purpose from the outside. But the value of the pot is not from the outside. The value is from the inside, and you need to understand your purpose. So I want to have a look at firstly at what our collective purpose is. So the first thing is to understand that each one of us is unique, individual. You are created amazingly. You have life experience. And you have gifts and you have talents. And next week we're going to look more at your individual gifts and talents. But tonight we're looking at our collective purpose, because each clay pot is filled with a treasure for a particular purpose that every person on the planet is given the opportunity to participate in. So Graham is going to come up to explain this to us. And as our little connect group that Graham and I have are going to come and be our examples. Up you come, up on the stage.
So if you just stand there obediently and don't draw attention to yourself, well, I explain this. That's going to be really hard, isn't
it? What about one's in a yellow shirt? He's trying to draw attention to himself.
Yeah, that's right. So listen to this. This is a passage. Jesus was baptized. We had baptisms this afternoon. Jesus was baptized as well. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, he was looking up to heaven and praying. Heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So here we have an example. It's like a window into to God. We worship God, and God is Trinity. There's three parts. He's one, but three. And the three parts are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here is an example of where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working together. So Jesus is there being obedient to the Father, and the Father opens up heaven, okay? That would have been an amazing experience to see the fabric of earth folded back, and actually you could see into heaven. And the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And then the voice of God says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And so you can see how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working together. And they are working together right now in the same way. They work together. They understand each other completely. They are in community that continues without a break. They experience agape love, which is the highest form of love. It's self-giving love, the highest form. You know, Jesus gave his life for us. That's the highest form of love there is. And so they do that for each other. Jesus never did anything when he was on earth unless the Father said for him to do it. And they work together in complete unity. So unconditional love is what they exhibit. So there's a couple of words in the New Testament. They're Greek words. Kenosis is the concept of self-emptying of your own will for the will of God. And when you give your life to Jesus, that's what you're doing. You're saying, "I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving up my will to you." And then the other word is perichoresis, which is about giving and receiving between parties. And it has the sense of there's a dance involved and making room for self-emptying. So there's this beautiful image of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in perfect unity. And we're going to demonstrate that. And these people are going to play the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we won't actually identify who is the Father, who is the Son, and who is the Holy Spirit. They're just going to play this out. Then there are two people who will be humans who will take part in this little dance in a moment. So come up here on stage. Okay, so who is who's playing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who's playing the two humans? I'm sorry?
You choose.
Okay, Father, well, you're the three here. So if we get the two, and that's good, they're husband and wife. So you just stay there for a little bit, but I'll come over to you in a moment. Now, if you just choose these are Christmas baubles. Okay, now there's two left. So I want you to stand in a circle facing each other. Doesn't matter if one person is has their back to the group. And then in a clockwise way, I want you to pass the baubles from one to the other. And you're representing the Godhead, so you don't drop them. So that's all you have to do. Keep doing that. Just keep doing it. And so what that represents is The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are giving and receiving from each other continually, giving, emptying themselves, and giving to the other, receiving, emptying themselves, and giving to the other. And that's what they do in perfect unity, in perfect agape love, unconditional love. Now we have two humans over here, and they represent you and everyone else on the planet who's ever existed. Okay, so you come in and you join into this, and you keep passing it around. Now you come in the front here. Come in the front. Yep, come in the front and this way, with your backs to all the other humans because you're representing them. Yep. Okay. And you keep passing them around. So if you've ever been in a situation where you know that there's an inner circle and you would love to be in that inner circle, might be in a family or a business or a workplace. I didn't see that. And and you wonder what it would be like to be in the inner circle. Well, in the universe, there's an inner circle, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit welcomes humans into that inner circle. And our two human representatives could represent Adam and Eve. They have been welcomed in the Garden of Eden, in the story in Genesis, they're welcomed in to the inner circle. And they enjoy fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that situation. And then one of the humans, or both of them, drop. Yes. And drop out. Except the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit keep going. They never stop. And so there's a break. But then come back. It's going to be all right in a moment. So Jesus, of course, self-giving, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are giving to others as well. The Father gave his Son. Jesus gives his life. The Holy Spirit is poured out for many. And so Jesus makes a way for humans to come back into this inner circle. And that's what's available to us today. For everyone on the planet, you can come back into the inner circle. Come on, go back in. So there you go. Thank you. You've done a great job. Oh, what are we going to do next Christmas now?
In heaven, the Christmas bubbles don't crack. It's a mere earthly way of describing it. So we're invited in to this beautiful community of self-sacrificial love. This is a profound thing. You're invited into the community of self-sacrificial love. And so you, as a jar of clay, has this treasure within you. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And when you are filled with this treasure, which is the Holy Spirit bringing you into that beautiful community of self-sacrificial love, you are invited into the community of self-sacrificial love. That's what you're invited into. You're invited into a community where you actually start to see more and more who Jesus is and what he looks like and what God the Father looks like. You start to experience that more. And then as you become part of that community, you are filled with their love and you constantly pour yourself out for other people just as Jesus did for us. Sometimes you will hear criticism of Christians for being judgmental. And I think that when we've become judgmental, we've moved out of that community of self-sacrificial love. And we always have to watch ourselves because human beings can be very judgmental. And we're invited in this community of self-sacrificial love, which means we constantly give of ourselves. And one of the verses that God put on my heart for this whole series is the one where Jesus says, given it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together and running out all over. And I believe that he's saying, as you move into this community of self-sacrificial love and you're filled with this treasure, which is his very being within you, and as you are called to give that treasure away and you keep giving it away, and the more you give it away, the more God will fill you with more and more and more. If I take Graham's faith journey, for example, I remember when he was praying that we might get 25 children to start the first school. That was a big faith step. Then I've seen the faith steps grow bigger and bigger and bigger, but they're just one step up. But every time you pour yourself out more like that, God fills you. And he's saying to you, so you as a jar of clay get to be filled if you invite him in. Because he doesn't force himself, but he says, I've created you for a purpose and I will fill you with the treasure, which is my very self. It's my power. It's my kindness. It's my love. It's my mercy. It's my wisdom. It's my peace. I'll fill you, but I'm filling you so that you can be like me in giving it away. You constantly give it away. And as you give it away, I will put more into you and you will give it away. And then I will fill you more to overflowing and then you will give it away. And each of us have opportunities every day to do this. And each one of us has specific gifts in which we use these things, but we'll talk about that more next week. Today we're just talking about this is what we do collectively. And then people will see the nature of God within us. Because if you were here last Sunday morning when Josh was talking about the Easter eggs that Jesus brought, which is symbols of who he is, if you read the four Gospels and you look at the life of Jesus, you see what God is like. And the disciples even said to Jesus, well, show us the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am revealing what the Father is like to you. And we have images of God in our mind. But if you look at Jesus, you see what the Father is really like. And here's an example. At the Last Supper, Jesus was having dinner with his apprentices, his disciples, the night before he was crucified. And think about around that table were all his disciples, including the one, Judas, who was about to betray him. And when they come into this dinner, the custom was that there was a servant, the lowest servant or slave, who washed everyone's feet before dinner for a couple of reasons. There's one, that people wore sandals, their feet were really dirty and the streets were muddy and there was cows and sheep and everything out there. So it was, if your feet weren't good, and they reclined at tables, so they sat at low tables. And so that was customary and it was polite and was the right thing to do, that everyone's feet should be washed. But this servant doesn't appear to wash their feet and they're about to start the meal. And Jesus gets up and puts a towel around his waist and kneels down and he washes their feet. Now, we can't feel how amazing that is because we don't come from that culture. But there is no recorded event of anyone in history ever doing that who wasn't a servant, no leader, no rabbi, no teacher who would ever have done that. It's an astounding thing to do. And the disciples were actually embarrassed by that. And one of them, Peter, said to him, Lord, you cannot wash my feet. Like, this is humiliating. And Jesus says, if I can't wash your feet, you can have no part of me. Now, what Jesus is saying is, if I can't serve you, you can't be part of me, because this is what my community of love looks like. I serve you. I serve you. Jesus wants to serve you. If you thought about that, he actually wants to get down and wash your feet, metaphorically. He wants to serve you. He wants to transform you and forgive you and cleanse you and make you whole. He wants to bless you and fill you. He wants to care for you. Really, have you ever considered who will care for you for eternity? Who will care for you for eternity? Do you know with assurance in your heart that there is one who loves you enough to care for you for eternity? Because we are eternal beings. And there is one who will care for you for eternity. He says, let me love you. Let me serve you. Not just today, for eternity. Will you let him? You have to let him. Peter had a choice that night. Will you let me serve you? And he said, then not just my feet, but wash all of me. I just want you. And life is big and life is perplexing at times. And we all need one who will care for us now and for eternity. And what's more, that one wants to fill you. And what Jesus was doing that night was, he wasn't hiding who God was behind a man getting down to wash their feet. He was revealing who God is. He's revealing who he is. That's the nature of God. And you and I are called into that inner circle of self-sacrificial love. And we get to be filled with this treasure which is his very being. And we get to know him and we get to listen to his voice. And we get to be guided by him and comforted by him, and we get to honor him, and we get to give ourselves sacrificially to him and to each other. And then we see the world start to change when people honestly discover what it means to give self-sacrificially. It's not always fun. It's not always easy. Sometimes you have to give yourself to people who don't like you, who disagree with you, who have rejected you, or people that you struggle to like, and you need to ask that treasure within you to give you the love for some people so that you can love self-sacrificially. You know, this world does have trouble. Adrian was talking about it before. And Jesus, it says, loved them to the very end. And what came out of him on the cross was love. That's what came out of him. And when we are pressed and we're filled with that treasure, what will come out of us is the treasure of his self-sacrificial love. And therefore we spend time just getting to know him more, to become like him, because the world will change when every person actually embraces this treasure within them in whatever size or shape clay pot you are, and you use that to bring his blessing into the world. This passage goes on to say, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And you see, when this treasure is within you, there's another verse that says, greater is he who is the Holy Spirit within you than he who is in the world. And pressure will come from the outside. And if you are empty within, you will be crushed. But if you are strong within with this amazing treasure, which is the power of God who created the 300,000 insects and the snowflakes and the entire universe and the miracles of you, if you're filled with him, you will not be crushed. You might feel the pressure, but you won't be crushed. You'll be perplexed. We're all perplexed at times because we're not God and we'll never understand everything. So sometimes we will be perplexed, but we won't despair because of the treasure within us, who we know will keep us strong and keep us going. We will maybe hunted, but we will feel like we're hunted, but never abandoned by God. We know the treasure within us will never leave us. In fact, we know as we keep giving, he will keep filling us to overflowing. And we get knocked down, but we're not destroyed, because we don't look at those troubles. We look at the treasure within us. Not everyone can see it because it's within you. But we know him and we love him and we've experienced him. That's why experiencing the love of God, as you can read in the letter to the Ephesians, it says, may you experience the love of God, though it's so great you'll never fully understand it. You'll never fully know it. You continue to experience his love. And therefore, it's not a philosophy. It's not a list of rules. Jesus actually said he'll write his law in our hearts. We don't just follow a list of rules. We have his Holy Spirit, this treasure within us in our hearts. And as we are filled with it, we start to find our purpose. So think about these things. You are a clay pot created uniquely for a unique purpose. And each one of us has a different way of fulfilling the purpose, but we all have collectively the same purpose, which is to bring his self-sacrificial love into our world. And our purpose is to be united with him in that beautiful fellowship where he serves us and we serve him. We allow him to serve us and he allows us to serve him, which is profound as well, that you are allowed to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're allowed to do that and you allow him to serve you, which is incredibly humbling. And if tonight you don't see that that's humbling, ask God to show you how humbling that is, that he serves you. So we do these things. We live from the treasure within. It is power. Money is power in this world. The power of God within us is incredible power for doing anything. We live from that power within. We have our own strength and we have our own abilities, but we are infused with the power of God and we live from that power. We don't rely on ourselves. We give from the treasure within. You have an abundance to give and you will never run out. You give and he will fill you more to overflowing, and you give and he'll fill you more to overflowing, and you start small. And as you give more, you'll discover that you have the ability to give more and more of your time, your patience, your kindness, your prayer, whatever abilities that you have. your faith. You'll be able to give hope to people, joy to people, love to people, build people up again. We find our value from the treasure within. Because in this world, we know that we should have value. There's something in all of us that's seeking value, and we often try to seek it from without, the opinions of people, what people have done to us and what people have done inadvertently to us gives us a sense of who we are. What people have done to hurt us gives us a sense of who we are. What people have done to build us up gives us a sense of who we are. But that value will change as life goes on. And sometimes we even believe lies about ourselves because of what's been done. And we don't focus on that because our value comes from what's been deposited within us. And it doesn't matter what your pot looks like or how big or small or how amazing or how insignificant, the treasure within gives you incredible value. If you are loved enough for Jesus to give his life for you on the cross, you have incredible value, and that treasure deposited within you is what gives you your value and worth because you are created for this purpose. You're not created to remain an empty pot on a shelf. You are created to be filled with this treasure and to join this dynamic dance of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're all invited in. We expect from the treasure within us. Because God has deposited so much and invested so much in us, we don't lose hope and our faith continues to grow because we know he wouldn't have placed such a huge investment in something if it wasn't going to bring an amazing return. And so God will work all things together for good. Despite what has happened in your life, you can expect from the treasure that is within you. And we explore the treasure within us because that treasure you will never fully understand. It is so rich and various, so full of gems and jewels and everything amazing that you will spend your life exploring. And it's a beautiful thing just to take time out all by yourself with God and explore the richness of his beauty, his power, his kindness, his mercy, his love, his redemption, everything. You explore it for the rest of your life and you keep giving it away. Everything you discover, you give it away. And he continues to fill you. That's what we get to do. And so on Good Friday, if you're here on Good Friday, we gave we asked everyone to continue to find someone you would pray for. And we lit a candle that day. And everyone was given a little card with a blessing prayer on it. Because we know that as followers of Jesus, he wants to apprentice us to being outward thinking more than inward thinking, to be giving thinking rather than getting thinking. And so we have incredible power. And I've got this little card up on the screen, the prayer up on the screen. And there are a few more on the table out there if you want to take one with you. I've got mine beside my bed. And the people that God put on my heart to pray for, I pray for them before I go to sleep at night when I wake up in the morning because the little card is just there. There's incredible power in this prayer. And because you have the treasure within you, if you've received the treasure within you, you have great power when you pray this prayer because it says, I bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the treasure within you is the power. You live from this power. It's the power of Jesus' name to bless someone, and you're blessing them to encounter God's loving presence. You're inviting them to be fully immersed in this beautiful inner circle and that they would know the hope and plans he has for them. And you're blessing them to experience, not just to hear about, not just to come in church and see other people having a nice time, but to actually personally experience the power of his peace, comfort and healing. And I believe every one of us knows someone tonight who needs the peace of God, the comfort of God, the healing of God, as the kingdom of God comes near to you. So what I'm going to invite us to do is to say that prayer out loud. If you went to your Good Friday, ask God to put someone on your heart right now that he would like you to pray for as you join in this community that continually gives self-sacrificially this agape love, which is the purest love. And if you're still praying for someone from the other day, let's pray for them and let's pray this out loud and realize we're praying from this power within us. I bless you in Jesus' name to encounter God's loving presence and to know the hope and plans he has for you. I bless you to experience the power of his peace, comfort and healing as the kingdom of God comes near to you. So just invite you all to stand. I just want to pray for us all. And we'll finish off in a moment. Just want to pray for us all because one thing I know is that the Holy Spirit comes into your being through invitation only. And it's your invitation. He's created you with a purpose, and he invites you to join him in what he's doing to renew our world, but you invite him in as well. So it's a mutual thing that happens. And so as I pray for you, I'm inviting you. I can pray for you, but you invite the Holy Spirit into your hearts tonight. And you may have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then ask him to fill you to overflowing. And you may never have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you simply ask him because he is ready and waiting to fill you. And if you look at your clay pot tonight and you think, but if the Holy Spirit comes into me, it's full of rubbish. Because, you know, if you pour something pure and beautiful into something that's full of rubbish, it's not as beautiful as it could be. But the Holy Spirit himself, you cannot clean your own clay pot out, but he can. And you can allow him to wash away everything that you wish wasn't there and just to fill in with yourself. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and that you are perfect love and you are self-sacrificial love and you are redeeming love and forgiving love and kind love and powerful love and embracing love. And Father, we come to you tonight, and I pray on behalf of all of us who would like this, and you just have to agree with me, that you would cleanse us as jars of clay, make us pure vessels to be filled with you. And we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill us tonight. If you want the Holy Spirit to fill you tonight, if you like, just put your hands out as a gesture of saying, fill me tonight. I'm not worthy, as Peter said to Jesus, I'm not worthy, but I will allow you to serve me tonight by filling me to overflowing. And may I serve you tonight by giving everything I have to you, that we may be united together in this beautiful dance of self-sacrificial love. And may we take this love into the world wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.